Hey, did anybody see the Savannah Morning News this morning? No one did? Somebody of significance was on the front page, and it wasn't me. I know, that's disappointing. Our own Priscilla Westfield. Look at that. They put your age up there, Priscilla. That was so nice of them, wasn't it? Not 30, oh, okay. Oh, wait, 30. Okay, gosh. some good action shots, Priscilla. When's the date? When do you leave? The 8th, September. Okay. Priscilla will be leaving the 8th to go do a little competition. We're going to unleash Priscilla on the world. The Aussies don't know what's coming. The Aussies are getting ready to experience the wrath of Priscilla. Priscilla usually just sees the back of my shirt when we're doing something. So. All right, let's pray. We're going to get sidetracked. I don't even know where we're going, so we can't get sidetracked. But anyway, God, we are loved. And God, I want to thank you today that your love for us isn't conditional. Because God, if we're really being honest with ourselves, our love for you is conditional. We do not love you the way you love us. That's just a fact. But God, I know that you long for us to love you the way you love us. You just care about us, period. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what we did in England, I'm going to bookend the trip for you real quick, tell you some stories, and then give you a word that God gave me. And I'm going to give you a little heads up. The word God gave me is not a feel-good, encouraging, this is going to be the awesome thing, your bank accounts are going to be full. There's no health problems ahead. The church is going to be overflowing, all that good job, but it's a serious word. So I'm giving you a heads up. It's time to get your big boy pants on. Okay? We started our trip in a little town called Exning, England. It is literally a village of 2,000 people. We went there to do some discipleship training. We trained about 11 people that are part of the Anglican Church. That's the Church of England throughout the country of England. It's very liturgical. Well, our training consists of is showing people how to share the gospel in story form, so therefore they can go share the gospel in story form using John 3:16. That's what the whole thing centered around, our discipleship training. There was four of us on the team. Doug Dorman is our team leader. David Lonis, a pastor out of East Tennessee. And Doug's second oldest son, Nate, who is out from South Carolina, lived here for a lot part of his life, but he's a pastor of a church called H2O in Huntington Beach, California. He and another young man co-pastor of this church that reaches surfers, which is kind of cool. But the thing about four Southerners is it really didn't have to take very long for them to figure out not only we're from America, that we're from a very specific part of America. Okay? In fact, we ran into Americans all over the place, and I definitely didn't have to tell them where I was from. Most of them would look at me and go, "You didn't have to tell me that. I could figure it out." All right? So we're there in England, and God is using us to disciple these hungry Christians. There's about 5% evangelicals in England. That's what I said. I said 5% evangelicals in England. That's really not many. Okay? This little Anglican church in this village, they go about 25 or 30 on Sunday morning. I was kind of wondering what we were walking into. A group of people that were born and raised into a very liturgical, very organized, even would be considered legalistic at times. Do this, A, to get God to do B, and see the result. That's kind of wondering what we were walking into. We walked into a group of people that were hungry for God, who wants to see God revive in England. They have a longing to see God do miracles, to see the power of God, to see God change lives in a place where there's only 5% evangelical Christians. But throughout most of England, especially in London, Islam is rapidly taking over quickly. In Europe as a whole, which I'll come back to in a second, there's only about 10% evangelicals in the whole of Europe. I know some of you should be able to testify. Becky and Paul have been in Germany. The Rockwells have been in France. Amy's not here, but she's been all over Europe. There aren't exactly, you don't bump into Christians over there. Okay? So we spent time at the beginning of our trip with this host family and these believers that were hungry for God. When you get a chance to pray for somebody, and we prayed over each other, and they were like, but how can we see the church grow? Is that a good question for us today, Big C Church? How can we see the church grow? What's going to have to change in me, we, us, to see the church grow, to see a revival throughout the world? They were asking the same questions. They have a heart to see God do something. And so we began to, as we discipled them, we took them through this course that Doug has written the outline for. And we're walking through all this, having questions and talking about what it means to be free in Christ, to live with purpose, to not just go through the motions, to hear what God's doing. You know, one of the things that God spoke to me while I was gone was this: we all hear God speak. It's whether or not we're going to be obedient to what He spoke to us. The question should not be, how do I hear God? The question should be, how am I going to respond to God? I guarantee you, this week, sitting here, you've heard God say, pick up my word, and you didn't do it. I guarantee you, this week, you've heard God say something about contacting somebody, calling somebody, spending time with somebody, and we didn't do it. I guarantee you, sometime in the last few weeks, God has said, I want you to give more to the church. You didn't do it. God is saying, are we going to respond to what He's saying? Or are we going to keep asking the same questions? Are we going to get into the stream of what God's doing? Or are we going to sit on the sidelines while God continues to work in other people's lives as He's tugging us? You know, God's a gentleman, and He invited us to go somewhere to join what God was doing in a very small, specific town. Let me tell you something. Nobody in their right mind would pick this town to go to. A village of 2,000. Everybody walks everywhere. The pub we went into was like walking into modern-day Cheers. Everybody knew everybody's name. The only thing that was missing was Norm sitting there on the side. They knew we weren't from town, by the way. Okay, they knew we weren't from around there. But they were nice, they were polite, and they were respectful. So what is God up to? God is up to bringing believers that are hungry to seek Him, want Him, and see the kingdom come no matter what. That's what God is up to. He's up to it here, but He's up to it over there. So we spent some days with them, and God gave us great favor. Thank you for the prayers and the support. I know some of you asked. I always said, pray for favor. God did that. God did that miraculously. First of all, I knew that God's favor was upon us the first night we were there because we were staying with a different person. Myself and another team member were staying with a different person. And they said, well, what do you want for breakfast? They said, such and such, such and such. And they said, well, we got porridge, which is oatmeal. I love oatmeal. I was like, God's hands upon us already. I get oatmeal. Cooked for me. Awesome. Let me tell you something. We run past the most simple blessings of God every single day with our hand out and not our hand up, saying, praise be to God, He took care of me for the little thing. So I'd say that in jest, but I say it in all seriousness. The favor of God was upon us. The protection of God was upon us. So we spent a few days with them. Then we moved to South England, a place called Cornwall. You probably have heard of Cornwall, but you probably never heard of the town we were in. It's spelled N-E-W-Q-U-A-Y. It's called Newquay. It's kind of a tourist area. We went there because Nate Dorman was with us, and he was there to do a few things. One of them was speak at a church outreach event called Creation Fest. Calvary Chapel, who is based in California, goes all the way across the ocean as one of their outreaches and spends 7 straight days in an outreach towards young people. And so Nate joined them as a speaker, and we joined him there over a couple of days, just being around those and see what God was doing. Remember what I'm telling you? God is up to something. God is moving. We got to pay attention to what God's doing. We got to quit counting the cracks in the sidewalk and thinking, oh, woe is me, and saying, oh, how wonderful He is. It was interesting at this little Creation Fest, the age variation that was come, because it was adults that were significantly older than me, all the way down to really young people, just worshiping, praising God day after day after day. And the conversations that God would allow us to have that encouraged us to encourage us back and to see how God would give us favor with places we would go, especially the times that we would get lost. We had a car, we drove over 1,100 miles in about 10 days. 1,100 miles. You know what? I hate driving and I hate riding. Okay, so 1,100 miles, you're behinds in a car a lot. But what were we doing during that time? Asking God for more favor and more favor. While we were in Newquay, we stayed at a bed and breakfast. Now pay close attention to the details of this story. Remember what I told you, the backdrop is God going to give us favor no matter what? We think we're there for one thing, but God's up to a lot of things. You should write that down. God's up to one thing in your life. You think He's up to one thing in your life. He's up to a lot of things in your life. So we're staying at this bed and breakfast. This trip came into play kind of late. Doug usually knows months ahead of time. He called me in late August and said, "Hey, you want to go?" I was like, "I don't know. I'll let you know." A few days went by. I said, "Yes." We left August the 2nd. So in early July, I decided that I was in. That's really quick to get a trip together when you're going on a mission trip. Had no place to stay. You hear what I said? No place to stay in Newquay. Okay. So I'm on the computer. I'm looking. I'm trying to find a place to stay. Everybody's coming back saying, "Look, man, there's three things going on. There's a surf contest, there's Creation Fest, and there's Music Fest going on. We got no room at the inn for you boys." My biggest fear was getting ready to come true. Nate Dorman was checking on us to stay with a house full of surfers. Look, I love young people, and you know that, but God, please don't let that have to happen. He said there'll only be about 25 of them. I was like, "Do I get my own bed?" Like, bed? You might get a space in the floor between 10 of them. I was like, "Oh, please, God." But one place came back and said, "I'll hold you a room." We showed up at a bed and breakfast called Trey Linda. We showed up. It was owned by a couple with a little boy named Tom. He's about 9 years old. We showed up there on a Sunday night late. On Monday morning, we're eating breakfast. And the English are nice and polite, but they're not exactly warm and fuzzy. Okay? So they're going to be courteous to you. They're going to take care of you. And they'll be kind to you. But they're not going out of their way to hug, kiss, and tell you how great it is to have an American at their place, okay? So she's kind of cold to us, but nice. Then the next day, Doug Dorman says, "I think we should go take them a bottle of wine. Let's go take them." We went and took them a bottle of wine that afternoon. We took them a bottle of wine. The lady was in the office. We took it in there, and we said, "Hey, where's your husband? Want to bring a bottle of wine?" He said, well, he had to take Kevin to the doctor. He can't walk. Can't walk? What's wrong with him? His foot's got something wrong with it. So we prayed with her for Tom's healing. First time we prayed with her for Tom's healing. She says, "Oh, well, I'm Roman Catholic, but I send Tom to church with my aunt." "Oh, okay, that's fine. We'll still pray with you. We're still cool. We're expecting God to do something here." Okay? So she's appreciative of it. Okay? So the next day comes. We find out that Tom had went to the doctor. This time I'm talking to the husband. His name's Kevin. I said, "Kevin, what happened with Tom?" And he said, "Tom, you know, we take him to the doctor. You just don't get any answers. We keep having these tests, and they just don't give us any answers." Like, "Man, I'm sorry to hear that. We've been praying for him." He goes, "Yeah, I know. My wife said you prayed for him. That's cool." So I went back to Doug. I said, "Doug, we need to go pray for Tom." So all four of us went, and we prayed for Tom. Nate Dorman prayed for Tom. What Tom had wrong, I don't know what he actually had wrong, but here's what his symptom was. His right foot basically was numb from the knee down. He could put no pressure on it. It was just kind of there. He couldn't walk. Healthy young boy after that. So that Wednesday, that time we prayed for Tom, we went and spent some time with his dad, Kevin. Remember what I told you about that the trip came together kind of late? We couldn't hardly find a room. Kevin looks at him and he says, "You know, you all are fortunate to get this room because somebody had that reserved for 7 months and they canceled and then you guys contacted us and we gave you the room." Now, you may think that a miracle is walking on water, but I believe a miracle is the capacity to stand here before you this morning and share the good news of Christ. So I believe that God can orchestrate the greatest details in our lives if we're willing to just join Him where He's working. We joined Him where He's working in that opportunity to just see what God was going to do in their life. So that day goes by. God's given us favor in other ways. We're literally in town. And one of the great things about when you're an American, as some of you should already know this, when you're in a foreign country, and you walk in, they're kind of realizing you're American. They want to know. They want to know things. So like, you don't really have to force the conversation. They just want to talk to you. Like, "Where are you from? You know, what do you do?" All that kind of stuff. Sometimes the temptation is great to make up some craziness. Like, "I work for the CIA or something like that." But I fight it. I fight it for the most part. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm here on a secret mission. I'm part of Mission Impossible. I'm just being honest with you, okay? They don't know. They don't know." So you don't have to really force a conversation because they're willing to listen. But you know, one of the great things about it is because you kind of have a captive audience. And then you're telling them you're there to do discipleship training. They're like, What is that? You're doing what? Yeah, we're here because we're representing Jesus. We came from America to encourage our brothers and sisters. God sent us here to spend time to disciple them so therefore they can disciple the masses. And you can have different conversations. There was a church there called New Creation Church. It's much like our congregation. God gave us a great divine appointment with the pastor, with the assistant pastor, not the associate, the assistant pastor. We walk in there, we're talking to him. The Bible talks about running into men and women of peace. This guy was a man of peace. He sat down. He told us about how the church was reaching believers or non-believers, how the church was growing there. Let me tell you something. There's not a church on every corner in England. Okay? There's a lot of buildings that stand empty that have a lot of cool stained glass that no one cares about except telling stories of yesterday. There's a lot of those. But I'm talking about a living, breathing, living church. They do not exist there. And so this pastor, we had this great time with him and him just sharing the vision of what God was doing. Remember I told you just quit counting the cracks in the sidewalk and see what God's doing so we can join Him? God showed us what He was up to in that little part of the world. I would ask you to consider something. Ask God to open your eyes to see what He is doing around your life so you can join Him. This guy's name was Robert. Doug shared with him while we were there. He was very interested in maybe having Doug come back with a team and do discipleship training for them. But one of the cool things he said was, you know what our church does? He says, we gather the other churches in the neighbor, in Newquay, and we have this community time together where we're praying for the non-believers. We're reaching out. We're going after them. One of the cool things they do is in front of their church building, it's on Main Street, they throw beanbags out in front of their church building because they have a coffee shop. People can literally just come hang out and lay on the grass in beanbags and just hang out and go get coffee. That's what they do Monday through Friday to reach, just so people can hang out, get to know them. People in Europe, in England especially, but in Europe, probably I would go ahead and say in Asia, this qualifies too, is this. They're very skeptical of the church and what it's going to do. They don't trust it. It's been a deception for years. They're building bridges. God continued to give us favor there. One of the last times before we left that area, I asked Kevin, I said, Kevin, how's Tom doing? He said, man, we went down to see Nate surf in the contest, and our bed and breakfast was on a hill, literally like something you see in San Francisco. I'm not kidding. It was like this. It was a tough climb. About 250 feet. He said, Tom walked back. First time Tom had walked up that hill. It wasn't perfect. I said, praise God. Let me tell you something. I don't know what was going through Kevin's mind and heart, but here's what I do know. God was working. God was working through your prayers. God was working through your support and people that I don't even know was praying. God, tell me something. I believe that a catalytic type of event, a revival, happens in any place in the world because somebody says, yes, Lord, I'm all in if nobody else is in. Wouldn't it be awesome if we heard that Tom was praising God and he was the catalytic of person that saw revival, just maybe in that part of England? It was a very privileged part to be a part of that and seeing God have these conversations over and over and over. You know, one of the things that you run into when you're in England is this, the believers are discouraged. They're down. They would give a lot just to be right here with us right now, just to be in this fellowship, not to be in America. America didn't really, the ones I talked to, America didn't really impress them. Okay? Matter of fact, most of them were kind of sarcastic, if truth be known. Kind of sarcastic. Okay? Nice, but polite in that way. But they still hunger because they're built to belong. Then God took us back to a town called Hoddesdon. And it was it's north of London for a while. If you notice, I haven't said anything about being in London, by the way, because I think a lot of people thought I was just going to London. Okay? I flew in. We drove out immediately. Okay, so haven't you seen it? We go back and we go to a conference there. And the conference is this. There's a group of church planters called Communitas. And all Communitas is, they plant international churches around the world that reach English-speaking people. So they have churches throughout Europe. They have churches in Brazil. They have a church in Mexico, Honduras, those kind of places. But they're planting English-speaking churches to reach the people there that can therefore go and reach their own population, indigenous people. So they reach the English to reach the masses of the indigenous people. And while we're there, it's kind of like, you know, God, what is this all about? I mean, I know we're here, and I know we got this church conference, we're doing this. That's all kind of cool and all that. And I think that's what God began to show me for us. John, will you put that first scripture up for me, please? The psalmist says this, "But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to be a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I discerned their end." The psalmist says, "I didn't know what God was up to. I saw a world that seemed to be going along just perfect without Him. But it bothered me. It discouraged me. It disturbed me. It upset me. So I had to do something about it. I had to get into the presence of God to understand He was still working and He was still moving, and that it didn't seem as it really appeared, that God was not allowing the world to go to hell in a handbasket, that He was still moving." And I think that's a word for us today, church, here in Savannah, here in the Low Country. It seems as if it's business as usual, but I want you to know, in the throne room of God this morning, it's not business as usual. The question I have before us, though, are you willing to go into the sanctuary of God and discover what He's up to in your life? Are you willing to ask this question? Am I in the middle of the will of God, and how do I know I'm really in the middle of the will of God? Linus Moore spoke at this conference. He is no longer with the Communitas organization. He is with Global Training Network. That's who Doug Dorman travels around the world with. He's 78 years old. Next, he came there from, he lives in California, but he travels around the world. He had just come from a different place, and on the 22nd, he leaves for Nepal for 2 weeks. He's 78 years old. Why isn't this man at home navel gazing, sitting in the recliner, kicked back, doing nothing? I'll tell you why. He answered the question. A few years ago, he had a crisis of belief. He's about 70, he said. He said, "God, are you through with me? Is it time to hang it up?" God said, "Linus, I'll never be through with you. Here's the word I got for us today, church. Remember I told you to get your big boy pants on? Warning. Warning." When I talked to the people that were at this conference, talked to church planters all over the world, literally. Talked to one young couple. They live in northern Spain, county of 30,000 people. There's no evangelical church, and there's only two other couples that they know of that are Christians. They've been there for 3 years. I looked at them, I thought, "Man, have you lost your ever-loving mind?" When I talked to them, though, there was no depression. There was no, "Man, this is so hard." No, it's, I quote her, "God sent us there, and we're in it." 30,000 people, three known sets of Christians, no evangelical church. Another couple lives in Dublin, Ireland. They live in Dublin, Ireland. Been there for 6 years. Two other couples. Took 3 years to get a small group going. 3 years they plow the ground. Now for 3 years they have a home group that meets in their house. Staying at it, because God's not finished with you. What does part of the warning have to do, I think? John, pull up the last slide, please. Because I asked John to put these up on one. The first one, the top left one, this is in the city of London. The bottom right is called St. Paul's Cathedral. I did not take this picture. John just found it on Google. I didn't see that thing at all. It's called St. Paul's Cathedral. It used to be on the highest point and sit on the high ground in London. It was on the highest point in Western Europe for years and years and years and years and years. In the Bible, using the term high point, high place, highest point, highest place, that's a very redundant thing, because what's exalted gets worshiped. Are you following me? Listen closely. The thing on the left is called the Shard, S-H-A-R-D. It literally, I actually saw that in person. It literally looks like a giant piece of glass. It's about, I think it's 92 stories high. You can go to the 72nd floor, pay £30, which is about $45, just to look around the city of London. You know who built that in 2012? This is interactive time. Take a guess, what group of people built that? Muslims from Qatar. You know their whole purpose in building that building is to have the high place. You see, evil gets it. That which is exalted gets worshipped. That which takes the high ground gets exalted, gets worshipped. 50% of London is Muslim with a Muslim mayor. Here's the warning. Do nothing, church, and the evil will come and take over. Do nothing, sit back, be complacent, and evil will surely show up and take over. You're up 10% evangelical. God's not done. God's inviting. God's inviting right here in Savannah. God's inviting in your neighborhood. God's inviting your place where we talk about it all the time. Embracing the battle. God's not through in England. God has a remnant that's hungry because I saw him and I talked to him and I witnessed to him. A gentleman that I met at the conference, he is Brazilian, but he was born into a Muslim family. His middle name is Muhammad. He is a believer now and is a pastor in Brazil. I won't bore you with how he got to Brazil. Pretty cool story. God did it, of course. He shows up in London to this conference. He gets in a taxi cab. The driver's Muslim. And because you, in over there, even here now though, when you put your stuff in, your name comes up. So when the taxi driver saw that his middle name was Muhammad, he assumed he was Muslim. So it his name is Sammy. He automatically gets an in with the Muslims because he's like, oh man, you're a brother. You're one of us. Sammy said, no, I'm not. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. That messed with him. But here's what I want you to hear. If you think evil's going to take a day off, like we like to take days off, okay? You know what the cab driver told Sammy? Not quite that, not to get out. Something a lot more disturbing. Here's what he said to him. I've got 3 wives and 9 children. I need 2 more wives so I can have 15 children so we can start to take over the world. I'm just relaying the facts. We can sugarcoat it. We can do whatever we want to with it. But I believe there's a warning for us. I do. I have to own it. I have to own it personally. Because you know what happened to the plague? It swept through Europe. Praise God, there was an ocean that separated us, or we'd have been in deep, you know what? There's a plague that has swept across Europe, and it's on our shores already. You can't answer me because we'd be here till midnight. Have you given up on God working in your life? Linus said, God, are you through with me? Linus, I'll never be through with you. God's never going to be through with you. God's never going to be through with me. But I can be through with him. And because God's a gentleman, he'll say, you can sit right there. He'll still love you, but he'll find somebody else to get the job done. Those are 2 visual reminders of the battle. I really don't know what else to tell you. Honestly, I don't. Other than it's life or death. Some cab driver believes a dead prophet promised him an eternal reward of a bunch of virgins, and he's willing to die for that cause. We serve a living Savior who died for us to have eternal life so we don't have shame and death and emptiness. He's plotting and planning. All we have to do is surrender, seek, and join. So I don't know how this stirs you today. You know what's interesting about these trips? This may surprise you because you might think that I did get to see a lot of cool stuff in the middle of nowhere. I didn't know there were so many crazy sheep in England. You see, I didn't spend any time in London except a few hours. It was very humbling to me to know that my God would allow me to see the battle like I've never seen it before. Never. I know that Becky and Paul spent time in Germany, and like I said, Jason and Terry in France, and even Rachel spent some time in Italy with Amy, and hearing it, I could feel it. I could feel it. There is no quit in the other side. What concerns me is there's a lot of quit on this side. Let's just pray. You got cards and you got envelopes. And I'm just going to do what I kind of started doing a little bit. I'm just going to pray for us. And I just want to pray for us. cards and envelopes. Let's just spend some time praying, seeking God. What is He stirring? Fathers, I get to talk to you now. God, you're so faithful. You're just so, so good. Like the song says, you're a good, good Father. And God, I think one of the things that just hurts my heart is I know that you care so greatly for those who have yet to claim the name of Jesus. Will you challenge us? Will you burden us? Will you give us a longing to see people become followers of Christ that are in our families, in our workplace, in this city, in the low country? Will you burden us with that? You know, God, I'm praying that you would disturb us. God, I know a lot of us probably don't think you're up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, but you might need to wake us up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and realize you need to talk to us about something. God, I've prayed this prayer many times in the last couple of weeks. God, have mercy on me being apathetic. God, have mercy on me being disconnected from reality. God, I pray our hearts would just bind ourselves to you. God, our thoughts would be God thoughts. God, I thank you that you're never going to be through with us. I thank you for that. But God, may we not sugarcoat. There's been times when we have literally said, no more, God. This is all you get of us. No more. God, I know that if you weren't slow to anger and abounding in love like it says in your word, wouldn't even be here. God, I thank you today that we stand with a living God. God, I know that all the people that are outside these walls that we're in, you love them because you created them. And God, I know your word reminds us that how will they hear if no one tells them? God, I just want to pray that you just continue to speak to us right now. Gary, you just don't play right now. God, just what is it you're saying to us that we need to take ownership in? God, I want to thank you for that little group of believers in Exning. I want to thank you for their faithfulness. God, I want to pray that they will feel encouraged today. I want to pray that they would feel like they're not alone. And so many more around the world, I thank you for the people that are in the battle. They're front line in it, and they don't have a body of believers around. They just answered the call. They're in the battle. They're planting. They're watering. They're working it day in and day out, just being faithful. Bless them today, Father. Give them some fruit from their labor, Father. God, I pray today we will not deny that we have heard from you. I'm just going to end our time with prayer. You can bring your cards and envelopes after I say amen. God, pour upon us yourself. Jesus, you're Lord of our lives. May we change the way we speak, think, act, love, move. To God be the glory and the honor. Amen. We're through. You can bring your cards and envelopes, put them out there. Okay.